Together for the Lord, and please take your seats. I'm going to look real quick at Psalm number 40, and it's one of my favorite psalms, and I could never work out why. Do you ever watch a movie and you loved it, but you didn't know why you loved it so much? I don't know if you've seen that film Sicario. Have you seen that? With Benicio del Toro and Emily Blunt and Josh Brolin. You know that one? Thank you, Auntie. I watched that film 6 times. It's only been out like 1.5 years. I watched it 6 times and I still didn't know why I liked it. And I still don't know. It's just a banging film. I don't know why. It's all right to watch. You guys are looking at me like I've sinned against the Lord. My goodness. Shall we rewind the tape, cut and start again? Good morning, Harvest people. I'm kidding. Thank you so much. And I love the 9 o'clock service. I just love what you guys are doing here. I think you should clap for yourselves. I feel younger when I'm in the 9 o'clock. It's amazing. I don't know what you guys are smoking, but it's obviously, I know what Heidi's on. That's obviously like skunk level Christianity right there. It's truly amazing and truly wonderful what God is doing with you here at the Nine. Long may it continue. You know, the Bible says a tree bears fruit after its own kind. So you can see what is in Godfrey's heart by who's here today and by the vibe that's here and by the way the Lord manifests himself. So I really want us to put our hands together for him. Wherever he's gone, he ran away. The moment I got the microphone, he legged it. But we thank God for his life and thank God. Yesterday we had the women's conference. It was so wonderful and successful. Could we clap for everyone who helped there as well? That was so marvelous. Oh, and just one more point. The toilets at the back are out of order. So we've got a toilet here for the men. The ladies can use the disabled and the ladies there. And the men can use the disabled as well. And there's also toilets upstairs at the back of the upper room. Just bear with us. We were redecorating them. And then halfway through, we had 2 floods. Courtesy of Thames Water. So we are on to them about being compensated for that. So we should get something in the name of Jesus Christ. The infrastructure around Wembley hasn't been upgraded since all the houses and since the new Wembley Stadium was built. And Wembley Stadium has the most toilets in it of any stadium on the planet. So you can imagine everyone going at half time and flushing. What that's doing to the sewage system around. I know if you live in Empire Court, a few of you live in Empire Court, Wembley, and there is a daily pump out from Thames Water because the sewage infrastructure can't even cope with Empire Court. So if you do live in the locality, please do 2 complaint letters for me. 1 to Thames Water about the state of the sewage system in the area, and 2 about this colour run thing, because that's just so annoying, and it shouldn't happen here at all. But anyway, we'll get on to them. We are bashing and complaining and fighting. The Bible says contend, and you know whatever sin. I don't know what happened January 1st this year to me, but I've been in a contentious mood ever since January 1st. The Bible says that we earnestly contend in Jude 3. I've been preaching on it all through the last 5 weeks or so, that we earnestly contend for the faith that is in us. So faith is a contest. It's a competition. It's a fight. The Bible says fight the good fight of faith. And one of the things that I've seen lacking in the body of Christ a lot is the fight that you need to get what God's word says is already ours as and has been bought and paid for in the blood of Jesus Christ. So we get the word of God and then we fight for it to manifest in reality. And that's what I want to speak to you today about, is how to land the blessing of God. How to land the blessing of God. Let me give you a little bit about my background for those of you who don't know. I got saved at the age of 18 years old. I was an IRA sympathizer from a family of IRA sympathizers. My life's ambition was to rob banks. All my friends were bank robbers, drug dealers, pimps, muggers, thieves, creepers, you name it, they were it. 2 of my friends were commercial burglars. Like, I mean, they wouldn't burgle a house, they would burgle a warehouse. And the, you know, our streets in our neighborhood used to be full of stolen goods. I mean, people were, you know, the way people will knock and ask if you want your patio done or if you want your, like, you know, do you want to buy a camera? And it would be like, I remember being offered a Minolta Dynax 3000i camera, brand new, out of the box for 50 quid. I mean, you remember the Minoltas, yeah. Sergio Tacchini sportswear. Oh my goodness, what else? Seiko watches, top of the range Seiko. I don't know, gravity spin, what, I don't know, it probably took you to the moon or something, you know? And I got saved out of that kind of environment in Ireland while I was on holiday. And I was only on holiday in Ireland because all my cousins were mad and they were worse than I was. And we used to just go out drinking and fighting and having fun. And, you know, just, I was hit with the chicks as well back then. And praise the living God, the rest is under the blood of Jesus Christ. That's all I'll say about that. And thank God for the statute of limitations. I can return to Tottenham in peace anytime I like, and there's no blue lights flashing and chasing me. So by the favor of God, I am what I am. But God had mercy on me. And I started out virtually anything that could be against you in life. If I chose to take the excuses that society and life offered me, I could have taken virtually every one of them. Every excuse that anyone has ever been fed to fail, I could have taken up those excuses and I could have made 1,000 excuses for my failure. But I didn't find failure in the Word of God. I didn't find failure in the Bible. I didn't find it. The Bible talks about, blessed be the Lord our God, who causes us to triumph in all things. So triumph's in the Bible. And then he says, shall death nor life nor height nor principalities nor powers shall be able to stop us. In these things, he says, we overwhelmingly conquer. So I couldn't find even anything as an excuse anymore for failure. So then I had to work out, well, what is the model of success? And really, the ultimate sign of Christian maturity, according to the Word of God, is somebody who walks in love. And I remember in 1989, choosing consciously to walk the path of love. That was 5 years after I got saved. I've been saved 32 years now. By God's grace, I'm still on that path. And you know, turn to your neighbor and tell him, love is a journey, not a destination. And it's really important to remember that, because sometimes you can, you know, if you slip up or mess up, then sometimes you can be really hard on yourself, go into guilt and condemnation, and then sort of, you know, backtrack on what your plans are, etc. And I saw that there was things in the Word of God that God said had been bought and paid for in the blood covenant of Jesus Christ, that his own body and his own blood was ruined and destroyed and shed for those things to be manifest in my life, but yet they weren't yet manifest. And I thought, wow, you know, if you study the scripture really carefully, sickness was a rarity in the church of Jesus Christ. By the time James wrote the book of James, right? So this is James, the Lord's brother. By the time he wrote the book of James, he wrote at the end of the book of James in around chapter 5, he said, is any among you sick? If so, call for the brethren. Let them anoint him with, call for the elders, let them anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So rare was sickness in the body of Christ back then. And then I looked at my life and, dude, I was sick every week. I mean, anything going, you know, I would just pick up, I'll shake hands with somebody and come down with what they came down with. Even stuff you couldn't catch, I felt like I was. Anyone been like that? I don't know. It was like half spirit of hypochondria, half attention seeking, and then another half the devil just trying to land one on me. And I read in my Bible, I couldn't find sickness in the Word of God. I couldn't find it. Even Paul the Apostle, shipwrecked, battered, beaten to death one time and had to be raised from the dead. Stoned. 3 times he received 39 lashes. I mean, this dude went through everything imaginable. And there is not a trace of sickness in his life. not a trace. In fact, one of his disciples, Trophimus, he just left him at Miletus. He says, Trophimus, I have left at Miletus sick. Just, you know, look after him. Send him a get well message or something. And I'm going on. I'm preaching the gospel. I mean, what a dude. What a dude. And I saw the difference between his life and mine. And I thought, you know what? His life is better. And you know, in the Bible, God, he lays out this path for us very carefully, like choose the best. It's almost like a voice in your ear. Choose the best. Choose the best. Choose healing. Choose restoration. Choose the best. Have the best. Believe for the best. And dude, like, I didn't, when I came back to London in 1989 after living 4 years in Ireland because of getting saved over there and knowing that I had to leave Tottenham to just get Tottenham out of me. And that was a process. And I remember coming back to London, I had 500 quid to my name. I'd gone with £500 from selling my Volkswagen Beetle. I had a red fun buggy. You know the red fun buggies? Man, if you want a fun buggy, Volkswagen Beetle, the old one. I had one with a flat screen. It was a collector's item. And I sold it for 500 quid to go and live for God in Ireland. Everyone thought I was nuts, crazy, whatever. But I didn't care. I was following this Jesus. And that's all it took. I didn't care what it took. I used to take 3 sugars in my tea. And I knew that I wouldn't be able to afford sugar in Ireland. So I cut sugar out of my diet. Age 18. And I'm slim today as a result. Hallelujah. Mary Magdalene, may the Lord visit you in Jesus' name. And de-sugar you. Hallelujah. She takes 4 sugars in her tea. 4. Please point your finger and say, no, I'm kidding. And not anymore. No, I cast it out of her. So that was part of my journey. And then I saw that all these great things that God has promised me, you know, the Bible says, no good thing shall he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And, you know, I couldn't even afford a bike when I got back to London. I just had to, you know, the first car I bought for 50 quid. It was a blue Volkswagen Polo, an old school one. And the engine on it was so shot. You know the Marylebone Road flyover? I was going out towards the Westway, up that way in West London. And I was driving at the end of Marylebone Road. There's this flyover. You go up like that. And I'm not joking. The whole road disappeared behind me in a cloud of blue smoke. My car was burning so much engine oil that I would have to fill it up with engine oil every day. And literally, you know, it wasn't the cloud of glory. It was like smoke from a banger. And yet I'm reading this stuff, you know, in the Bible, and it was challenging me. It was putting a challenge on my faith. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to have to learn how to get what's there into here, out of here, and into here. Right? Now, for those of you listening on the podcast, that's going to be really confusing. I pointed to my Bible, my heart, my mouth, and then reality, and then the manifested reality. So this is the thing that we've got to understand the process. And it is a process. Growing the Word of God, that's why I was ministering on what I've been ministering concerning the parable of the sower, because that's the process of growing the Word of God. From usually, the Word of God starts in our mouth, takes root in our hearts, then grows, and then manifests out into reality. That's usually the way it goes. Sometimes God can put something in your heart that you know is yours by your heart, and as a result, it comes out of your mouth. But it's got to be in those places. It's got to be in your heart and in your mouth. The Bible says that is the word of faith that we preach. And faith is the substance that causes what's not here to become here. Right? That's basically what it is. So I saw, and I this is one of my favorite Psalms, because there's a process to this thing. There's the excitement. There's the initial excitement of when you read the word of God and you see, wow, promotion belongs to me. Prosperity belongs to me. Long life belongs to me. A happy relationship with my spouse, with my children, a happy relationship with my grandchildren belongs to me, where I can lay hands and bless my grandchildren. Whoa! What a blessing. And know that because of the battles I fought and because of the establishment of God's word in my heart, that they are leaving, that I am leaving a legacy beyond measure for their lives. Woo! Dude, I mean, this stuff will set you on fire. And so I saw now there's a process. There's the initial excitement of the thing, right? And then there is the fight, the good fight of faith. And that's the bit that I never knew why I liked Psalm 40 so much. And then it suddenly dawned on me. Psalm 40, verse 1. I just want you to see the first couple of verses and then the last couple of verses. Psalm 40, great. I waited patiently. Say patiently. How many of you've been waiting patiently? Yeah. Patience is a force in the realm of the spirit. And patience isn't like, I waited patiently for the bus. No, the word patience there literally is a word which translated means abiding under. So you imagine that you're waiting for a bus, but you've got a 20-kilo Olympic bar above your head that you're having to hold up until the bus comes. What's that? Pressure. Pressure. And there comes a time, if you were to do such a thing, that you're not only going to look silly on the street, actually waiting for a bus, and looking silly sometimes is part of it. Absolutely. You know, you tell your friends you're believing God for such and such and such and such, and they'll think, oh, yeah, okay, she really missed her bus. Okay. And so you're standing there and you're holding this thing. And then there comes a time where you start to shake with the amount of pressure that you're having to apply to this thing to keep it up. And that is what patience is. It's literally that Greek word, abiding under. I waited patiently, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Verse 2, he brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. If I was boasting now, I could sing this in tree. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. Now, if you look at verse number 17 from the same psalm, verse number 17, since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. For time's sake, we haven't got time to go through everything that's in that particular verse. But I wanted to show you, I wanted to highlight something, right? Because he starts off under the anointing of God and he's saying, I waited patiently for the Lord. But then how does he end it? In verse number 17, he says, do not delay, O God. Do you understand? So there's two bits to this. I waited patiently. And then 17 verses later, there's, do not delay, O God. Hurry up, God. Thankfully, I'm a man, and I've never had the privilege of pushing out a baby. But you know, the way that gestation occurs, human gestation, there is the initial excitement. That's the bit, like my wife said to my daughter Abby. She was telling Abby off one day, and you know Abby's very straight up in your face. I remember when Tottenham Pete first came to Harvest, and we call him Tottenham Pete because he's the most avid Spurs fan I've ever seen in my life. So we should clap for him for that alone, being in a church full of gooners. And so Abby walks up to him, and I said, see that guy behind you? I said, he's a Tottenham fan. So I tell you what, go and tell him that Arsenal are great and Tottenham are rubbish. Uh-huh. See, just having a bit of banter. So she walks up to him. She says, excuse me. I mean, she was this high. Excuse me. Arsenal are great and Tottenham are rubbish. And he went like this. He realized she was joking. He took a step back. He went, what did you say? Now, most children would have legged it right there. She stepped forward. She said, my daddy said Arsenal are great and Tottenham are rubbish. And I thought, whoa, right? So that's what Abby is like. That's her outlook on life, you know. If in doubt, go forward. I don't know where she got it from. I'm such a passive guy. She got it from the mother. So anyway, my wife was telling Abby off a couple of years ago about something. And Abby wasn't doing something she was supposed to do, like stack the dishwasher or something like that. And Joey said to her, she said, listen. Abby said, why should I listen to you? Because she was watching. I don't know if you've ever seen that series, Tracy Beaker, on BBC. Talk about the anointing of disobedience poured out on children. I mean, she was getting really, you know, feisty, and we were wondering where it was. We clocked it, Tracy Beaker. Because a spirit will find a voice and an access. And my wife said, Abby, you must listen to me. She said, I carried you for 9 months. And Abby just looked at her. She said, and who had all the fun rolling around in the bed? Imagine, Ab the Bab, yeah. She is something. She's got a great future ahead of her, I tell you that. With an outlook on life like that. Awesome, absolutely awesome. So in human gestation, you see, there's the, to quote Abby, in human gestation, there's the rolling around in the bed bit, okay? And then there's the I waited patiently for the Lord. But then many, many women have told me, oh, Pastor P, pray for me that this baby comes out. I really can't. And how many of you, that's been a common thing, those of you who are mothers here, that there comes a time you just want this little one out. It's like, dude. And this is what's happening in this psalm. He's starting off, I waited patiently for the Lord. And then at the end of it, it's like, how long, oh God? How long, oh God? What am I talking about today? How to land the blessing of God into your life. Because there comes a time when you know what's yours. You know it's rightfully yours. You know it's right round the corner, but yet you can't see it. And it's that point that the Bible talks about the endurance of faith. It says, therefore, having the same spirit of faith, it says in 2 Corinthians 4, I think around about verse 8 or 9, having therefore the same spirit of faith wherein it is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We believe, therefore we also speak. But this is the thing. How much are we intending then to stand on what we speak? The Bible talks about it in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. It talks about the whole armor of God. And then it says, having done all to stand, stand. Well, Pastor P, how long do I have to stand? Well, until there's no stand left in you, and then stand some more. Because you reach that point of weakness, of literally, as Paul put it by the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians 12, that point of infirmities. He says, I will boast in my infirmities. I'm believing God. It's like this thing is going to happen. God's kingdom will be established on earth. If you cut Paul the apostle in half, that's what you would have heard resounding through his heart. The kingdom of God will be established on earth. Well, Apostle Paul, how long are you prepared to stand to see that? I don't care what it takes. Shipwrecks, beatings, fastings, a day and night in the deep. I mean, you name it, what that guy went through. And yet he's still going up and down the country preaching the gospel. And then when they jailed him, he thought, well, what can I do now? I know, I'll write letters. And look, his letters are on every single lap in this house. Wow. So where the devil thought, aha, I'm restricting this guy and his ministry, the Lord just opened it out, amplified it, and multiplied it. Why? Because there was a stand. There was a, I will preach the gospel. My blood is on this altar, and I will preach the gospel, and for Zion's sake, I shall not keep silent. I'm greatly encouraged by the history of the nation of Israel, because it was virtually completely annihilated by the Romans. It was virtually completely annihilated by the Muslims. It was virtually and completely annihilated by the Nazis. And yet in 1948, a bunch of guys got off a boat in, where was it, Haifa or somewhere like that. And they decided, you know what, this is the time for the rebirth of the nation of Israel. This nation shall be reborn according to the prophetic scriptures. And they went out for it. They fought off the British. They fought off the Arabs. They fought off every single person that you could actually imagine was fighting. And they didn't care. They were going to fight until there was no fight left in them. And then 19 years later, in 1967, six Arab nations attacked them to completely and utterly annihilate them. And in 6 days, they beat six nations. That's a nation a day. Lord, what is in these people? The fight. The fight. I waited patiently for the Lord. How long, O Lord? Bang. Keep fighting until there's no more fight left in you. Until you see Zion established. You, what does it say? You who seek the Lord, give him no rest. Until he establishes Zion and makes it a praise in all the earth. That's what the Bible says in Isaiah. How much fight do I need, Pastor P, to see the breakthrough in my life? I know I've been destined for greatness. Every job interview I go for, I get turned down. Keep fighting. My mom got laid off at the age of 57. She got laid off from British Telecom after, I think she worked with them for 30 years. Imagine that. 30 years and they just laid her off 3 years before she was due to retire. And she didn't want to retire. She wanted to work really hard. She went for 104 job interviews. Because at the age of 57, nobody really wants you. And I remember I just got back from Ireland. I was over on holiday and I was dropping my mum down in a car. Me and my mate Ned Quinn, we were driving through London to drop my mum off for an interview at Great Ormond Street Hospital. They were looking for an administrator. And we just, me and Ned prayed after, you know Ned Quinn, the guy who was on my birthday video, Ned and Billy, yeah. Yeah, the two Irish pastors, yeah. Lord have mercy. And we dropped her off and we just prayed for her. And I said, Father, please, as a favor for me, because I could see her, you know, 104 interviews. I mean, that in itself isn't cheap. But she was going. She didn't know any other way except go. You could look in her life. There's no stop button. There's no sit down and relax. And she got that. You know what they said to her in the interview? They said, listen, we'll be straight with you. The salary is this. We're desperate. If you want the job, start next Monday. That was the interview. Imagine, she ended up as an administrator for Great Ormond Street Hospital, and then I think she retired about 65, 66 years old. Awesome. She didn't know any other way but go. She was offered, because she was diagnosed with mitral stenosis, which is a heart valve disease. Like one of her valves was ill-fitting in the heart. So her heart used to have to work twice as fast to beat normally. So her regular heartbeat was 120. Standard. She was offered before, and this was before the 1967 Abortion Act. She was offered three abortions for my older sister in 1963, for me, and then for my younger sister as well. The doctors said, look, you know, you keep having children, this is going to kill you. You can terminate the child and everything like that. She said, I'd rather die in childbirth than kill my own child. Hallelujah. Now, do you hear the amount of fight in such a woman? There's so many people, they sit down and say, well, you know, the doctor said, blah, 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 blah. And that's fine. If that's where you're at, get some fight in you. Push and get some fight. This is a time for conflict. I remember the Lord saying to me a few weeks ago, I could see storms gathering over the nation, the likes of which you wouldn't sleep at night if you saw the extent of storms that were gathering over this nation. And 2 weeks in a row, we called the guys to pray, and it's like there was just a handful of men showed up for the furnace. And I went to look, I said, God, how can I help my people to understand? I'm seeing something with my eyes. I'm blowing a trumpet in Zion, and I'm sounding an alarm, but nobody is hearing what is being sounded. And he said this. He said, just encourage them to fight. Keep encouraging them. Keep encouraging them to march, to fight, to push in the realm of the spirit, to bind the devil, to break the yoke of wickedness and the staff of wickedness that's trying to establish itself in this nation. He said, if that staff hits the ground, and people didn't know, a lot of people didn't know what was happening in the heavenlies just even a couple of days ago during the election. They're clueless. Clueless. And that staff of wickedness could have hit the ground and it could have changed the destination and the destiny, not only of this country, but the whole continent of Europe. It's fighting times. How long, O Lord? You see, we can be, I waited patiently for the Lord, right? But then as we're believing God and as we're getting through to the manifestation of the blessing, there's got to come out of us something that shouts, how long, O Lord? Praise God. I don't know about you, but I feel ready for this fight. Whatever it takes to stand. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, and having done all to stand, what? Stand. So how long do we stand? Until you don't have to. Or until there's nothing left of you. You remember that old song, Four Wheels on My Wagon and I'm Still Rolling Along? Did you ever hear that? You haven't heard that song? Okay, well, basically one of the wagon wheels falls off and then the song goes, three wheels on my wagon, and then he goes, two wheels on my wagon, and then in the end, it's one wheel on my wagon, I'm still rolling along, and then the last wheel falls off, and he says, I don't think I'm going anywhere pretty soon. And that can be the way, but boy, we are putting up a fight in the meantime. I don't know any other way to live, dude. I don't know. If there's any other way, Lord, show us. But there's something about it. God has given us the whole armor of God to fight, to smash every fiery dart of the evil one, to break every staff of wickedness in the land. The Bible says he wouldn't destroy this land for 10 righteous. I stood in the spot. It's the most amazing place in Judea, Samaria. And they're inviting us over next April if you want to do a tour of Israel. I stood in the very spot where Abraham talked with the angels and negotiated the rescue of Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 righteous. And there wasn't 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the rest is history. And the very next day, the angels of God destroyed it. But that time next year, Abraham gave birth to a son, Isaac. Praise God. Praise God. What prophetic times. Are you enjoying the times we're living in? I'm enjoying it. If life was all like boring and hallelujah and glory to God, and I would feel there's something missing. I would feel like I'd have to move to a conflict zone. I've got a mate who lives in Israel. He lives 5 miles or so from the border with Gaza. And he's calling me up to find out if I'm okay after these attacks. Imagine. I mean, he lives 5 minutes from Rocket Central. And he's calling me to make sure I'm doing okay. These are the days that we're in. And you know what? If we need to fight in the realm of the spirit, if we need to dash the plans and the purposes of the enemy, so be it. I waited patiently for the Lord. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That sound that comes from the Lord's Prayer, it's a unique sound. Virtually everybody knows it. And then there's the last bit to that thing, attached to the end of Psalm 40. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? He says, you that seek the Lord, give him no rest until he establishes Zion and makes it a praise in all the earth. Now, the thing about Zion, you see, there's the internal Zion. Right? That's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Then there's the external, immediate Zion, the kind of life you have, the way your children are being raised, the joy of life, the things that God promises us just to enhance our life. The Bible says that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, right? And then there's the Zion proper. That's the kingdom of heaven on earth. And really, we've got to be fighting for all three. and fighting the good fight of faith. And when you get tired and battle weary, you just rest in the Lord and then pick up that sucker again and keep fighting again with the sword of the Spirit, quenching every fiery dart of the evil one. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our loins girded with truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, quenching all the fiery darts of the evil one, and advancing in lockstep, line upon line, precept upon precept, going forward into this thing. Are you ready for it? Are you up for it? I really believe that this is the time where we can double up on everything. Double up our prayer, double up our commitment, double up our voice, double up our evangelism, because for Zion's sake, we shall not keep silent. Would you like to stand to your feet? I want us to thank God for his word, and I want us to pray right now. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for what your word promises us. The blessing, the favor, that ability, Lord God, to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. There is no shadow of turning or variation whatsoever. That, Father, your blessing is upon us. Your favor is upon us. Your goodness is upon us. Lord, we claim the blood of Jesus Christ over every life here. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your purposes. We thank you for your blessings. Lord, let it be according to Psalm 40 that when we say we waited patiently for the Lord, that there would be something of the how long, O God, on the inside of us to see that thing come to pass, to see that thing manifest, Lord God, and your blessings and your purposes, which will remain forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.